important paragraph, because it lays down a principle. וצורי שתדע שגבול ניתון למשיח עד מותי הנחום שיהיה משיח באלה בקורות הרובו. Now, we, amongst the principles which we've discussed on previous occasions is that of the hero. Each human being is entirely free. He may do as he chooses. Now, there are reservations as far as that is concerned. So, Derech Hashem is dealing with one of those reservations. And he says, although the Bechiro is given to a wicked person, and it can do what he pleases. Not only can he do what he pleases, but as you shall soon see, God even helps him. He wants to be wicked, that's the way he chooses. God even helps him. But, says the Derech Hashem, there comes an end to it. And that end is called Milui HaSo'or. The measure is full. And so he said, it's necessary that we should know that there is an end that is given to a wicked person who pursues in his wickedness. And this end is how it depends how long he will be allowed to continue exercising this free determination of will to do evil. But when that end comes, then there is no hope for him anymore. Then there is destruction. Now, he's speaking, it makes no difference whether it is the individual or whether it is a nation. The principle of milui hasso'or applies to wickedness. Comes a time when it's all over. Of course, everything is taken into consideration. During that period, the good that the wicked man or this nation has done must also be rewarded. It must also be paid for the principles which we have already discussed. But when that has been paid for and he continues in his wickedness, then he is allowed to go only thus far and no further. And when that comes, then there is destruction. Now, he goes on to tell him, "Vehu ma'ase kol chachomeinu zichronim livrocha milui haso'or." That is what our chachomim calls milui haso'or. See the English translation here, the measure is full, perfect translation. The measure is full, or the measure is filled. Now, it can't go on any further. "Umashe omar hakosuf biglot sifko yetzele." And that is what Job says, when the measure is full, then he is destroyed. Rimei ad hazmana hu efesh yatzliach v'geylach minatam shezuchadni lemalo. He says, and until that time it is possible that he would go from success to success. He can have great prosperity and great success until that moment for a reason which we have mentioned above. And what is the reason that we have mentioned above? He has done good, and the good has also got to be paid for. So that is one reason why he can have great success. But then there is another reason, that is Shehu Lifteach Lo Pesach Vaavoda. It is to give him the pride that precedes the fall. All that success that he is having is leading him to his destruction, and he doesn't know. He's having great success, and it's leading him to his destruction. And that is what our Chachomim say: if a person chooses to go an evil way, if a person chooses to go the way of tumor, the way of impurity, if he wants to be contaminated, Hashem gives him every opportunity. If you want to go, you've got free choice, you'll even be helped to do. Ach, but once he reaches the end, then he has reached the point of no return,
Dertig ist Tatschen, die hinei aus Jechere auf Hashem, des Iperulov, Shewa, she Yishmar Gov. And then the anger of Hashem is kindled against him, and destruction, a Shewa, a destruction, an annihilation, which will overpower him with their Kanada. So that is the principle of Milui Hasoho. Any questions on that before I go into this explanation?
When the end comes, is it always an Olam HaBoh, or does it sometimes
come into the... No, you've got no Olam HaBoh.
Okay, so it'll always be down here.
It's always. Utter destruction.
But then I have a question. Sometimes we see very wicked people who die. Wicked, they're still up. You know, they're still, there's money they made, or
they've got no Olam HaBoh.
I understand that, but is the punishment.
That is the end.
So that is the destruction you mentioned.
Yes, but you very seldom find that. You give examples of it in a moment. How do you find it?
And we see the other one for sure. Germany, for example. But in the individual sometimes.
We take the nation and the individual.
Okay,
yes, you know.
Why is it
evil
that a person is committed to
these values? Well, I can't explain that to you. I have the privilege to enjoy that. No, I can't tell you that, but the serious question was, how does Hashem determine that this is the end now? But there is a point of no return. There's a thermometer. And when the thermometer reaches that height of evil, that's no return. After that, no coming back or anything like that. Now, the examples that we find of that. The best examples are always those examples which we experience. Now, although none of you have experienced it, I have experienced it. That whole period of 1933 to 1945, that those 12 years of the Hitler period. And there we find something very interesting, how Hitler succeeds. But look the way he succeeded. Now it's all history to you, but it's not to me. First of all, how he succeeds in taking power, which was uncanny. And don't forget that he was a Democrat, and it was democracy that put him into power, not republicanism. It was all democracy. He was voted in by the majority of the people. It was democracy. And although there were people who saw what it was all about, they had no voice and no say. And Thomas Mann was one of the people who saw what it was all about, one of many, and had no voice and no say. It's a democracy, and we vote, and they voted him in. And he became the leader, he became chancellor. But that was the last time there was democracy in Germany. That was the last time. That was the last time the people could vote. After that, it was all over. Now, just look at the success. That's his first success. Then the Saalgebiet. Marches into the Saalgebiet, which had been given to France after the war, because it had belonged to them at one time. And then Germany took it over. And he came back to Saar. He decides that he's going to give it back. Marches into the Saalgebiet. France doesn't say a word. And then all the others start. Austria, Czechoslovakia, the Memelgebiet, all starts and it goes on until he decides to go into Poland. Poland, they say, that we are going to stop. He goes into Poland and in 3 weeks he's conquered more than half of Poland in 3 weeks. And it's all over. And nothing is happening in the West. And then he attacks the West. In a matter of hours, Holland and Belgium fall. And he's already into France. How long does it take? And France collapses. Just look at the success. Goes over to Norway. just look at the success. He's absolutely on top of the world. And at that stage, he didn't see him as if the Allies had a chance in the world. America, of course he will help you, as long as you pay for it. Good, we'll pay for it. No, but you must come and fetch it. We're not going to send it to you, we're not going to risk our ships, we're neutral. You must come and fetch it. It was fetch and carry. So they had to pay for it, and then they had to come across, send their ships across, fetch it, bring it back. So they had to run the gauntlet twice, bring it across, take it back. The submarine war, Hitler was absolutely on top. The hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of tons of ships that were sunk. Absolutely on top. There didn't seem to be a chance in the world. Then he decides to attack Russia. But he didn't go immediately for England after he had captured the Low Countries. Nobody can understand. One authority said that it was because that's what happens when a politician is the military leader also. To him the greatest thing was just to march through Paris, the great enemy of Germany, whatever the reason was, but we know there was something deeper than that. Doesn't go to England, tries, and what went on, the bombing of England. Then he attacks Russia. Just look at the success. What a vast country it is, and it goes through and it goes through. What a success! And it all leads to his destruction. He gets as far as he goes well, and then he's bogged down. Supplies can't reach him, and he can't pull out. And that is the end. And that is the end of Germany, of Nazi Germany. And that is the end of Hitler himself. In all that success, Milui Hasoho, it comes a time when the measure is full. Now you might ask, but look at the number of people that were killed in all this. That all goes into the question, that all goes into taking everything into account. Sima would like me to explain how God works all that, and I can't. But I can give you some idea. People were also to blame in all this. There's a tremendous amount of suffering. I'm not speaking about the Jews at this particular moment. There was a tremendous amount of suffering, it is true. But it all worked to a purpose. Now, that is something that we see. Now, we're experiencing something else. It was only a few years ago that we were catching a glimpse of what it was that was really taking place in Russia. They estimate that Stalin killed 20 million people. And that is considered to be a conservative estimate. What went on, what he did to the Jews, he took 3 million Jews, and it was a duty that was observant. It was a jury that knew, an educated jury. In every little town, there were shuls, there were bota midrash. If there wasn't a yeshiva, there was a kibbutz. There was at least one great man. And there was a kibbutz, and he had young people around him, and he taught these young people. All that went on. Rabbi Abramsky told me that in Slutsk, in the Russian regime started and the Soviet started in Schlutz, and he was there for over 10 years. He told me that when he started in Schlutz, there were 63 kosher butcher shops in one town. It wasn't a very big town. 63 kosher butcher shops. You mustn't laugh, because San Jose should have also 63 kosher butcher shops.
We're laughing because
we have
to
be
trying because
there's
only one.
I mean, what?
I want to try.
How can these
people
support the people?
How many Jews are there in the
country? That's what it is. People earn very little. But he will enough, he will enough Jews to support them. And you had to have 63 butchers. They were called Jephthahs. You had to have 63 butchers. You had to have. But he told me, he wanted me to understand what kind of a life they want. But how everything was destroyed. You met, some of you met a young man this afternoon. Your respective husbands met him in Shul. A young man that came doesn't know a thing. He was sent to see me, he and his friend and his wife. They want to be religious and they want to be Jewish. But he doesn't know anything. Doesn't know what an olive looks like. Doesn't know anything. The first time he came into a shul was this evening. Came to him from Jemari to me. It's impossible to imagine the destruction that there was. Yes?
I'm just curious, why does he want to be Jewish?
Well, yeah.
Why does he want to be Jewish? He knows nothing about it. Why does he want
to be Jewish? Well, Edith, why do you want to be Jewish? Why do your children want to be Jewish? Why do you want your children to be Jewish? You know, there are lots of Jews in this area, I'm told, who don't want to be Jewish. And they certainly don't want their children to be Jewish.
But if he doesn't know anything about it, why?
Yes, yes.
He was born Jewish.
Yes.
But
yes.
He finally
thought alike. But Mrs. Tertz, yes, Mrs. Tertz said, well, born Jewish. There are people young who are born Jewish and wish they hadn't been born Jewish. I'd rather determine me to become un-Jewish. And once there was a wedding that took place, and the rabbi was officiating at the wedding between a Jew and a Gentile woman. So I said, at least the rabbi converted her. His conversion? No, not at all. So I said to my colleague, to a colleague of mine from Los Angeles, that I don't understand this. He said, don't you understand? The parents don't want the girl to be Jewish. They want her to. They want the son to be with a goy. Once she's Jewish, the yichus is gone. They don't want that. So of course it's done that way. Now we've got no idea of what goes on in Russia, and I'm told over and over again, I've got no idea what goes on just in San Jose. Between you and me, I'm very thankful. But that is the position. We just don't know. I was dealing with a Bezdin case over the phone. We did a Bezdin conference call this afternoon. They're at Kairos. How do you say to Kairos in English? If Kairos means everyone does exactly as he pleases.
Hefke.
It's Hefke.
Hefke.
You want to be Jewish, you can be Jewish. You don't want to be Jewish, don't become Jewish. You don't want to be Jewish, you want to marry a Jewish man. It's an order. Everything is Kairos. You can do what you like. There's no control. That is Kairos. And the Kairos that exists. But in Russia, it was worse because you weren't allowed to keep anything. Well, you've got no idea of what went on there. Rabbi Bromsky's wife, whom I knew personally, when they were in Russia and their Jewish boy was born, and they were Moabim who gave their lives for this. They put their lives in danger. She would go, though they would know that the breach had got to take place, she would go to the apartment where the child was, take off her shoes and leave it on the doormat and go in. And then the mother used to go around in the apartment house looking for the apartment where there were a pair of shoes outside, and then he used to go out and go in and do the bris. That is all that could be done. All that was destroyed. Now, I mentioned to you that in 1920, the Chofetz Chaim put Trotsky into Cheren, because he was a Jew and he was doing the most terrible things to the Jews, put him into Cheren, and he said that that regime will last for 70 years, but it won't last longer than 70 years. Immediately after he put Trotsky into Cheren, Stalin ousted him and he fled to Mexico, I think it was, and eventually he was assassinated in Mexico. The Russian, the communist regime lasted exactly 70 years, from 1920 to 1990, exactly 20 years. Now, I can't tell you how the prophet's time realized it, but he knew that the Milui HaTzor has got to come. And the Milui HaTzor that he reckoned out 70 years, or he had some source for it, or it was Ruach HaKodesh, I don't know. But he said 70 years. Now, I didn't hear that from the Chofetz Chaim. I didn't ever meet the Chofetz Chaim. But I heard it from people who heard it from him. But I did have the schus to know Reb Daniel. And Reb Daniel told us, there were a few of us in his home, and he said, the greatest crime of world Jews is their abandonment of 3 million Russian Jews. Now, that was in 1935, 36, 37, somewhere down there. He said, but God will bring them back. So they won't be like that. In his own way, God will bring them back. Now, we see all this happening. All of a sudden, in Russia, and the Chofetz Chaim says there won't be a war to destroy communism. It will destroy itself. And it happened little by little. It wasn't little by little. And one catastrophe after another, and then this breaking up. Eastern Europe disassociating itself from Russia, which is still going on. Milui HaTzor, there comes a time when the measure is full. That is transgressive nations. I'll give you another example, and that is Babylonia. Babylon captured Palestine, Judah, and the land of Judah. Captured it, destroyed it, but the way it destroyed it, burned the temple to the ground, the base of it, because they weren't satisfied with that. They took bulldozers and reduced the height of where the place of Migdosh was, reduced the height of it, that it shouldn't be the highest place all around, still reduced it. The hatred that there was, it lasted exactly 70 years. At the end of 70 years, that kingdom no longer existed and was never able to make it come back. And so it happened with the Romans, so it happened with the Egyptians. All those have been destroyed, all those kingdoms have been destroyed. So it happened with the Greeks. The Greece of today is not the Greece, is not the the continuation of the Greece that was, or Italy, the continuation of the Italy that was, of Rome that was. With the, as far as an individual, it goes exactly the same way. There is the Milui HaTzor. Now, of course, it depends on a number of other factors. For example, it depends to a very large extent on the people also. Whether the people are an ingredient in Milui HaTzor. If the people are also bad, then it takes longer. If the people are very good, it takes a shorter time. So there are a number of factors that come into it. But we are dealing with the principles, and that is the principle of Milui HaTzor. Now, I've quoted Frau to you on several occasions before. And it is interesting that a goy reaches this conclusion. Freud is a historian, and in his day, in Germany especially, the Hegelian school wanted to find a pattern in history. Is it a question of cause and effect, or isn't it cause and effect? Is there any other pattern? And they were working on finding some pattern in history. Proud made his contribution, and he said, there is no pattern in history. There is only one thing that can be said with absolute certainty, and that is that somehow or other, when it is a question of nations, it goes well with the good and it goes ill with the wicked. That's all he can say. That's the only observation, because they can't explain it. He said, but that is what history says. And we see that it is listed out. You know, going this theory, that the reason why civilizations come and go is that as long as there is a challenge, and there is a response to that challenge, then that civilization flourishes. Once, however, there is no challenge, then the civilization dies. Whether it's right or wrong doesn't concern us very much at the moment. But it doesn't conflict with what we are learning, with what I'm telling you. Because Hashem brings it about. When it's time for a nation, when Milui Hasso all comes, and it's time for a nation to disappear, what does Hashem do? So there is no challenge, or there is no response on the part of the people. And then comes the collapse of the nation. Maybe a reason that is procedural, but it doesn't conflict with that fear. When it comes to the individual, it's exactly the same thing. You have a case with Hitler, you have a case with Stalin, that the end is going to come. And that is really us. But we must realize that everything is taken into consideration. Now, I have not got the right to tell you anything or teach you anything that hasn't got a source and for which I don't know a source. I have to have a source for it. Otherwise, I haven't got the right to teach it. Nobody has got the right to come to any kind of conclusion unless he can justify it with a source. Fortunately, I'm in the very best of good company. The same applies to the Der Hashem. There is nothing that he is permitted to say unless he's got a source. But the Der Hashem doesn't give us his source, he doesn't have to. He is teaching us that we've got enough confidence in a person like Moshe Ha'Nitzach to know that he would never quote anything without a source. Mekilas Yeshorim, there he gives his sources. Always gives his sources. In the Derech Hashem he doesn't give it. But I just want to tell you where you've got the source immediately. You remember that part where Hashem speaks to Avraham Avinu and he tells him that this land where you are now, it's the land of Canaan. This land is given to you and it's given to your seed. Avraham is already an old man, his wife is old, and Hashem tells the people, you will have seed and this land will be given to your seed. And it will be Ishmael. Now, he says to Hashem, how will I know it and all that? And Hashem says to you, you surely know, because a lot has got to happen before you actually inherit this land. First of all, you are going to be strangers in a land that doesn't belong to you, and you shall serve the owners of that land, the possessors of that land, and they will afflict you for 400 years. And that is, of course, the prophecy that Hashem gives to Avraham with regard to the Egyptian bondage, that the Bnei Yisrael will be in Egypt for 400 years. In actual fact, it is 210 years, and Hashem does it because the suffering was so much greater that the suffering of 210 years more than equaled being in exile for 400 years. And how was it done? It was reckoned from this moment until Pesach of the going out of Egypt of the Sea of Mitzrayim was 400 years. Now, then he says, I will judge that nation, and afterwards you will go out. And you will come to your fathers in peace. It won't affect you, Avraham Avinu. It will only affect your seed. That he says, the gold of your seed, the fourth generation will come back to us. That is, for four generations they will be away, but the fourth generation would come back to this land. And then it gives the reason. He knows so lame are those who have re unable, because the iniquity of the Amorites has not been paid for until now. Says Rashi, the iniquity of the land has not yet, the word isn't really paid, because, oh, it might be a hookup. Hello, is that a hookah?
Is that a
Lakewood?
Yes.
Yes, all right. All right, fine. In what language do you speak here?
Hmm?
In what language do you speak? Oh, right. Now, so you see, because the sin of the literal translation is, because the sin of the Amorites is not full. Rashi says that he lo sholem or no emery, he gives me staleach so that the Amorites should be driven out of his land. At Osis month, until that time, that is until the fourth generation, says Rashi, Sheena Kodesh Baruch Hu Nifra my Umo, because Hashem does not exact the final payment from a nation, at his Moli so also, until his measure is full. So there you've got the source for it. And in Rashi, the Gibson source of Yeshua, but this is the source for it. Yes.
Supposing the Amorites had turned around and done tshuva and done better, what would happen?
At this stage, this part applies. That Hashem Shehu Mifteach Lo Pesach Vavoda, everything is going their way because they reach that stage where Hashem gives them the opportunity. You go to your own destruction. Everything is going your way. They had already reached that stage. Still, haven't been fooled. Good time. All right.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
This concept of Hashem helping people who believe that.
Yes.
Is that why God has to be able to kill you? Why does he believe that stuff in that
language?
No. 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 You know what happens if you ever find
out that you're wrong. You see, this is all that the sages clearly you see meant to all of us. At the beginning, when we were laying down the principles upon which it works. And you remember the principles. It's a very simple principle. We've got, if we divide the world into good people and wicked people, then the good has got a majority of good deeds in this world and a minority of evil deeds. And the wicked has got a majority of evil deeds and a minority of good deeds. And in Olam Hazeh, in this world, the minority is different. So with the righteous, it's the minority of the evil deeds is there to see how they receive payment for it. In the case of the wicked, the minority of their deeds is good, and that is paid for just. But everything has got to be paid for. And that is the principle of justice about it. Also, we have spoken. We've spoken about all these principles. How there is a principle of justice. We are utterly opposed to the modern idea that justice is relative. It's not relative. And that is what happened to poor Bork. Bork tried to explain to the Senate Committee or the Congress Committee, tried to explain to them that the effective thing is absolute justice by which he is bound. And they said, no, there isn't such a thing as absolute justice. Justice is what the people want. Remember that all that went on there? They said, well, you can't be a judge of the Supreme Court. Now, we are utterly opposed to any of that idea. There is absolute justice. And that is the case. Yes.
I'm getting the sense that there are people who are not truly absolutely wicked.
I'm telling you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's the setting to them. Now, Betty, so what happens is when we were disturbed at the time that we discussed it, now of the education, we were then. And that it means to say that if a person is anything is going in his life, he must be a wicked person. That is human person. We were very thinly disturbed. We were all disturbed. But he was thinly disturbed. So it means that everything is going his way, he must be a bad person. And he explains no. Derek, I said, explained to us that it is possible that his purpose in life, and everyone has got a purpose in life, his purpose in life needs him to be successful. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was a very, very successful man. He had great wealth. He had a beautiful appearance. He had a charisma, must have had, that Antonius, who afterwards became Marcus Aurelius, was the governor of Syria at that time, the Roman governor, and he became a disciple of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, a secret disciple of him. And then Antonius eventually became emperor, and he was Marcus Aurelius, who wrote a work on Judaism. The whole work of Judaism, I've got it, translated into English. But the interesting thing is, he didn't write it in Latin, he wrote it in Greek. But he wrote his Meditation, he called it, a lovely work, and my uncle used to quote it. He used to quote Marcus Aurelius Meditation. He learned it all from Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was his teacher. And he put his life in danger when he went to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. He went to the great secret of his. There is a persistent idea that Marcus Aurelius, previously Antonius, Marcus Aurelius is a persistent belief that he became Jewish. But he kept it very quiet. And when he was in Rome, secretly, that was his Judaism, but officially he wasn't a Jew. So, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, that was his work. He was the Nasi, he was the head of the community, of the whole community of Judea. And he had to save it, he had to save the Torah, he was able to save the Torah. And the Romans had decreed the conquering of the Torah, and in the Grand Cossi there was an uprising, there was the martyrdom of Rabbi Akiva, and after that, they studied Torah. And Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi rejected the mission that in the year 200, 60 years after, less than 60 years after, it was forbidden to teach Torah. He was able to save the Torah. What he needed was all the qualities that was needed. He needed wealth also. Everything went his way. But that he wasn't his place for his to be. That was necessary for him. You follow? So all factors have to come into consideration. Now we're going to come to another factor also. Yes, sir.
This evening I spoke to my brother in Oregon. I think I'm referring to men in tonight, but a man with a dogger, and he said he was very close to him. I said, I didn't know you were. Jeff was his fourth son, and he came for years. He was a wonderful person. So I said, well, tell me something about him. And he said, well, he was a quiet man, he was a good man, he was very involved with civic affairs, he was the president of many organizations, and he was a very wealthy man who had much money. He gave a lot of his money to Israel, but I don't know what he did with it, but he kept getting more and more money. And he said he was just a very, very fine person. And I guess the question is, he was a man who was not religious, he lived a full life, he died a peaceful death. He had a lot of money, according to my brother. He was a very good person. My brother said he always, whenever he came with his wife to Zuma, he always came to visit my brother. Life could be out in the country. But he was a good person, according to my brother, but he was not a religious man. And had he done wrongly, or acted in a wrong way, I don't know if he would be judged like... I'm sure he wouldn't be judged like the daring people, but how does Hashem judge someone like him?
Well, we'd like to get a little bit more about this, that he's a person that, like this Russian, but this guy, because he doesn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely Russian. Now, if you like the Russian, you're not Russian like that, but you're born like that and died like that, of course they're not the same person. You're going to see how these things get occupied if we give a song to that. But that's the Russian point of view. It's good, believable. That is what he's doing in this world for, to fulfill that purpose, to support the institution. I would know whether he goes to the right source or he didn't get to the right source. A person who speaks to the right source, to the right place, is a big speaking Sadoko.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain to you that if you get a Yeshiva that comes for the Yeshiva, and he takes 20% as commission for himself, plus expenses, you can't reckon that if you give him $100 that you haven't given $100 to charity, that you've given $100 to charity. It's not. You haven't. You probably have $100, you've probably given $5 or $10. That's all you've given. So the things you've got to know where to give. Or you can give money, you can give money to places that undermine charity. Not only those they support charity, but they actually undermine charity. The places like that, well, what can you do? But there's been a big change in Stavros. I'm just reading an account of a young woman who in the 1950s became a social worker. She couldn't get a position in the Federation because she could suffer. Couldn't get a position in the Federation. The irony of the case is that now she's a vice president or something, a very big person on top of it. There's been very big changes. But you undermine charity, and you think that that's a joker, that's not a joker. It might be business, it might be good business. And I'm in business, and somebody comes to solicit him. Is that the word they use now? Comes to solicit him. And this man does big business with this. So I mean, all you've got to do is to say, you know, it's just called I don't do, and you say, all right, but I owe you one. In reverse this time, mm-hmm. And he takes away his business from him. So he gives you $10,000. Then he asks. But that's not the daughter, that's business expenses. Even if he can't take it off, he can say, if it is only sale on his business expenses, it isn't that's not the daughter. So we've got to understand if he gives the daughter to the right place, he's a very big school. And I said, what can we do? And the wonderful thing of my uncle. Once, when I was up to the wedding, I said, I've got some money that I want to give to the right source. So he said, give it to this man and tell him he can do with it as he pleases. Which I did. I knew that he said that he can do with it as he pleases. And I sent some money to this male celebration, and it was a big sum of money. And 6 months later, I'm in Jerusalem and I go and see him. And after I've been with him a little while, takes out his papers, and I sent it in several drafts so that he didn't have to change it all at one time, because if there's a value of the money you always change, it takes out all the international money orders and he puts it on the table. And he said to me, what is the matter? He said, what's the point? Why did he change it? He said, I didn't know what to do with it. He said it was for Sadoko, and I don't know who the poor person is. Not a poor person. I do the poor person, but his father has the experience. Mrs. Father is a very good friend. And she was sending money to a woman who was fighting the girl. She said, we'd bear it, wouldn't we? And then Mrs. Farber went to eat there. And she must go and see this widow. Mrs. Farber is a very good soul. And she went to this widow's home and she asked for Mrs. Jacobson, because he didn't know. And Jacobson opened the door and she said, Jacobson, she said, no, she's not here. She's looking out and beautiful for her. She said, no, I've got to speak to Mrs. Jacobson. He said, well, you can speak to me, I'm a husband. So those are the things that are going on. this is something that we've got to just realize, that son, that's not the Dukkha. And we've got to be careful of these things. Right. Now, a little bit further, please. There comes another dimension. And let me just give you, this is now paragraph diamond piece, or the diamond fish. I give you the concrete essence of the fact. The essence of this paragraph is, again, to the subject, they are factors in God's providence. Don't forget that the subject of this chapter is individual providence. I go on teaching you. I spoke of the individual providence. Now I said to you today. Now I make,
I was giving it to you before we were inside, so it will be difficult to keep your mind on it when we were inside, so I just give you the essence of it. Now, what he tells us is this. He says, the path is fulfilled by his path.
What is his future?
His future are his issues, his descendants. Those are his future.
What is his present?
His present
are
his confederates are his present. Those are the people with whom he lives. Those are the people with whom he works.
Now, our sin takes into consideration when he deals with man, takes into consideration man's past, takes into consideration man's future, takes into consideration man's present. Let it start with his past. Give me an example of what it is. You remember because we did everything that we had in this spot. This is when David the monarch was fleeing from Jerusalem, escaping from his son, from Absalom, who wanted to kill his father and take the throne. And then King David came to Bahurim, there came out then a man of the first family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei the son of David. Do you remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Shimei ben David. Shimei ben David came out and kept persons as he came. David the man is running away, he is following him persons, and he can't tell him for David, and that all the servants of King David, and all the people, and all the mighty men there on the right hand and on his left, on the right hand and on the left, of Shimei ben David. And he was cursing David and saying things. And that's what Shimei really cursed. Because he gone down there with blood and great sorrow, the Lord has returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast dwelt. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son, and behold, thou art taken in mine enemy's ship, because thou art a man of blood. That's what he said about King David. Now, you mustn't forget that amongst a large crowd of people, this went down extremely well. May have been the majority of people who went down extremely well. Then said Abishai to the king, why should this good son tempt my lord the king? Let me go over and take off his robe. And the king said, what have I to do with you, sons of the king? He said, let him curse because the Lord has said unto him, curse those who then shall say, wherefore thou God one son. David believed that that was Menasheh. Now, he could only have believed that he had no help for this which he had. And David said to Abishai that he was up as his general, and to all his servants, behold, my son is saying, think of my body, seek of my life. How much more is Benjamin now? Let him alive and let him curse, for the Lord has forgiven him. He said, my own son is one so much to me. I haven't seen this. and not going to kill. Now this is Shimon ben Gera. Shimon ben Gera is saved by David HaMelech. But afterwards, when the tide is turned, it's obvious that Shimon ben Gera has backed the wrong horse. When he comes again to David HaMelech, this time, that is going to David HaMelech to plead for his life. I can just lay my hand on him. And then the king returned and came to the Jordan. Now this is when Absalom met his death and King David is now going back to Jerusalem. And so the king returned and came to the Jordan. And Shimon, the son of Gera, by haste and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. This in the welcoming committee. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with his people. And he said to the king, "Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither be thou remember that which my servant did iniquitously the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his house. There are things that know that I have sinned, therefore behold, I am come this day, the first of all the house of Joseph, to go down to meet my lord the king. And now you shall hear again, his general is there again." And he said, "Shall not she be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" And David said, "What am I to do with you, you little general? Don't do anything to him. And shall this, shall any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am the king of Israel?" And the king said to Shimei, "Thou shalt not die." And the king said to him, "Shimei ben Gera is dead. He should have been killed, mutiny against the king, he should have been killed in the first place. Now when it comes, he's certainly the time that he should be sentenced to death. David HaMelech doesn't sentence him to death." When David HaMelech dies, he warns Shlomo HaMelech his son. He says, "You've got Shimei ben Gera. Just watch out for the king. When the time comes, you should be his son. You are not under any oath." A long time is after. By that time, Shimei ben Gera was killed. A descendant of Shimei ben Gera is Mordechai of Queen Esther. He is a descendant of him. He has got to be saved in order because of his descendant. So Hashem takes the future of a man into consideration. So he's not put to death. He's saved. He's got to have children, and out of that will come one. So the future of a man is taken into consideration. So a man can be spared in what is deserved to be spared, and what is going to be born out of him. Now, a man's past, all taken into consideration. Man has got the most wonderful parents. He isn't really right. But he's got his others. It's his parents. It's because of his parents. Now, what is happening today, of course, is so remarkable. The people that are coming back. Some people whose parents took nothing. And still don't want to keep anything. Whose grandparents took nothing. Whose great grandparents took nothing. I'm dealing with those people whose great grandparents took nothing. They come back. Maybe some crucifix. Maybe the parents and the grandparents were saved, and the great grandparents were saved, that his child or these children should be born of them. We don't know. But all that comes into consideration. So we've got the past of a person is taken into consideration, and we'll speak on it. And the Mishnah says that the physique of a person, the appearance of a person, is just from his parents. whether he deserves it or not. That's what he gets from his burden. The middle of a person, and that usually translated wrongly, they translated the faith and faith and can't say that the middle of a person is good. He's not the easy route to anger. There's a funny story, but it also needs to be true. He's worse, and that these persons are worse than he's worse to their children. It's because of the presence of his virtue. And the Sayyidah mentions that the intelligence of a person from the presence, longevity. Insurance companies base their whole economy on this longevity of a person. Take that from his parents. So those are things that as parents have, so he's cast his person into consideration. And the people with any limits. What he needs for that, what he needs for that for which he's been gifted, that will all be discussed in paragraph 7 and pages 116 and 117. And I'm very sorry that I can't take you further than that tonight.
Excuse me, Dad.
Yes.
Excuse me, can I just ask you one question? I wasn't sure if maybe I was ignorant of something or not at the beginning, and I asked you, you know, why did you want to be Jewish? Yes. So is this person Jewish already, and he wants to become religious, or he wasn't Jewish and wants to be Jewish?
No, he used exactly the words he used in this. He said, he came to me, and he said, I am a Jew, and I want to be religious.
Oh,
I understand. He used exactly those words. But his father, when he asked the king to settle down Russia, the school system was a very good school system. They taught very well in the high school, they taught very well. I don't think that it was the other country that selected high school, except for high school. But they taught extremely well, they had a very high standard in the high school. And he speaks of perfect English. The two ladies there, they conversed with him. It's a perfect English. And you know, we can't see. He uses even the dramatic expression because no difficulty understands the thing. He's been in this country only 3 months. Well, why can't we? It's because he didn't take English at school. As he took Latin language, he took English at school and took English. But anyway, you see him very soon. You're becoming too soon. No, it's one young couple and one single. But the thing is, I'm going to come to me. But he said he's speaking to his friend himself, and you know what I said to him. His friend must speak to himself. Yes, dear.
After his dad, what he meant to mention, yes. When an emotional power goes, what happens to the child?
And to the child, that's a very good question. What happens to the child? This is going back several weeks when we discussed the soul of every nation.
Uh-huh.
Every nation has got its soul. That is true. The way the nation carries on that flows its soul. That is a very flow. So what carries on him? The way that goes back to him. That is so flow. Yes, and about you.
We're learning more about the Holocaust and a lot of people were speaking and I wonder about the unfortunate girl who associated with murder in Rome. Hashem maintains he sustained everything, but the premise was just the fear of Hashem to just let that happen, or there is some reason for the mentality in that too, because Hashem is able to be another one at all times. So is it maybe a kind of cheated or a cancer? I mean, you would have never known that in quality. It's so neat.
It's so neat. It's so neat. But I don't want to break into that reason. I'm speaking about that on Sunday night in Los Angeles.
And then he goes to the flood of tribulation across the sea. Of course we've got these books. And one of the reasons is, and we're going to deal with this in paragraph 9, paragraph 8, we're going to deal with it. One of the reasons is, we get to the Krishna's justice that everything has got to be paid for. There is such a thing as a vicarious punishment also. That is, that a person can suffer for others, or a nation can suffer for others. So these people suffer for their duty. And the Lord declared what happened to the Cosmic Lord. The Cosmic Lord died when this was just about taking place, when they were collecting the Jews and sending them to the concentration camps. And he wrote a letter to his daughter, much later, was actually a few years ago, I know the place is still there. His daughter is still alive. I don't know if she's still alive, but she isn't, and it seems he's got her cutting. He wrote a letter and he said to her, I want you to know that the most terrible things are going to happen to us. I don't know whether it is because of our sins or whether we are the sacrifice for the sins of Israel. You will know when it's all over if the position of the Jew is exactly the same as it was before. Then you will know that we suffer for our own sins. If the position of the Jew is completely changed after it's all over, then you will know that we will sacrifice for the sins of Israel. Now, would that have happened? Then you don't know where our Jews were before. Anybody? We know very much. You've got to think together in different things. I opened that magazine, they call it Time Magazine, and even the single copy of the Jews is ancient. I opened the Times Literary Supplement. There isn't a single edition where it's either a book about you, or it's a book about you, and it's reviewed. Every single one, Jews are never mentioned. It is not revealed. We talk about the Jews. In Stanford, a Jew couldn't be a janitor there. Today, you can't find a girl for a rapport. You can't find a girl in Stanford. Go look for a girl in Stanford. They're all Jews there. And Israelis, and what kind of Israelis? See, the places you're seeing with them. Stanford, they wouldn't have a Jew in their year there. A Jew couldn't get into a medical school. Today you've got 200 universities that have got chains for Judaism, whatever that might be. But they've got 200 chains in the universities today. A Jew didn't have a chance. Harvard, how many Jewish professors there are today? A Jew didn't have a chance. A Jew couldn't go into a hotel if he had the name of Levi. We know that people can't. Before their money, we went into a hotel. What did they call this? It was a special name. They used to give it a name that you should know.
The
shepherd? That's what it is.
Yes,
it was a shepherd. They went into a hotel and then they sent friends postcards. And they said to him, how did you get in? He said, it's just that they're able to go. It's a copy of the book. And the name was Carl. That's why it was C-A-L. And it had been K-A-L. He said, they wouldn't get a chance. That's what they said. But this is in America. Just look what's happened after the war. She can go to any hotel. Don't ask him any questions. I go to a hotel and I book him with my wife. And they say, rabbi to me, and I'm in my garden chair, and I wear a beard, and I thought, how do you know I am a rabbi? So they say, well, you wear the brachot, and you wear the beard. I said, that's my very compliment. And I go to another chair and dress me as rabbi, and I said, well, what makes you say that? And they say, you look like a rabbi. I said, oh, that's a compliment. But another woman said to me, rabbi, I said, oh, no, what makes you say that? She said, you've got sad eyes. All right. But you can go anywhere with open arms. Look what it changed.
the story was a subject of another reason is that we found every place that is we have no control, and it is a deterioration. When the deterioration sets in, it's destroyed. And it was in Palestine, you find it was in Babylon, you find it was in North Africa, you find it was in Italy, you find it was in Spain, you find in Portugal, everywhere, Germany. When it sets in, then it is destroyed. Where a decay sets in, they also really have power, a certain time is given, and then it's destroyed. Now that concludes over and over again in this time. Now one of the criticisms of Toynbee, who is no longer alive, but neither is Toynbee, had a very strong, he wrote a good debate with historians, and his debate with Toynbee was that Toynbee didn't want enough examples to base for his idea. I don't know how things he did have enough examples. We said because it's there enough examples wherever he is on the downgrade, failing is on the downgrade, then that you should be destroyed. Now because why this is like that, there's got to be a certain purity. And if that purity isn't there, it is destroyed. You know? A spiritual virtue is like a very delicate instrument. And the least little thing goes wrong with a delicate instrument, what does it do? Throws it away. But you can still use it for something. He said, no, throw it away, it's negative. Finish. Discard it. But if once there is a deterioration, that will pass. But the whole idea of the these days, the openness, when the students of disciples of Rabbi Akiva died, because they didn't show credit to one another. People didn't show credit to one another. 12,000 pairs, of course they showed credit to one another. But what real credit means, just to give up for the other person, that's not credit. Credit is to know what that person possesses and to respect. That is common. And when we are expected to show respect to our parents, it's our duty to find something in our parents that we can really honor and respect, and then we give them the honor. That they didn't do. They could only find each group that they respected the others, stood up for them, everything. But when it came, what they never put their minds to, what is really good. That is enough to destroy it, to destroy everything. That the Gemara said is a desolate. Taylor is impure in consciousness. Taylor has got to be pure. Now, you can ask the question. You see, you make this speak to people, I think that I want to speak it out. You can ask the question whether people were the Taylor dead less pure than it is today. And you can talk about it today. No. But the purity of the Taylor is measured by the purity of the people. And the purity as it was then, it left today. The Torah is very pure for the people in Utah. You've got a little bit of Torah in San Jose. Now I don't know about it outside our community. But they tell me, for San Jose, very good standard of Torah. Purity is good. And being the time of other people, there wouldn't be any, there wouldn't be good at all. But for that, that is very supposed. The most appealing to this, that is the thermometer we place, the reading of the sun we place. That's quite enough for me, for one.
But you're going to speak about in Sunday night in Los Angeles, because none of us are going to be here. Are you going to repeat it here?
No.
Because we're just as troubled as if you came with us.
We didn't need the other things from it. I'm not going to sit down and repeat. I think you're going to.
Yeah. and you give him an effort. In any position that you are comfortable in now, not in this 9-year-old, but in this position, and then try to do it, if you can handle it more if you had strength than the last time, and get the girl to whatever thing you do, using any technique that you learn today or the other time.
How did you effortize while you're thinking?
Well, she can give her own effortize if that's what she likes. But whatever. You can give your own effortize and you can also give your own. Okay, I'm
ready.
I wish to do your own timing, but I was special altogether. Contraction, beginning, focal points, ending breath, and make sure she's relaxed. Nice. Now, introducing your comfortable stimulus. And this is now, 35 seconds. Getting stronger. And it's the same that way. Punch it out. And it is another double header. So 45 seconds is still there, but if you punch it out more, you don't get the leg like candy in the head. Now, the next time, we're going to have one more. We have time for another one, too. I'd like to point out that this kind of breathing is done in very, very active labor, extremely active labor. And I told you that her focal point is very near. It becomes temporarily near-sighted. She's also having a battle. I didn't feel any time. You put your own inside. I didn't have any time. You're probably lying inside, maybe on your side by this time, most probably. And you need to know how to push her. I'm going to show you how to do this. And by this time, you may have actually focused in your leg. Because by this time, if you need that extra push, she's going to be there. But anyway, we're going to do this. You can see the rhythm. Focal point, moving with. if it's too difficult, then it's just you can find something similar to ask you to do that in all the years together. Yeah, back to McGinney. What point is Lady Riff? Remember, I'm talking about your record. Get really close to it. If you cannot do that, something similar, leave it now. You know, I'm going to have to be home. You should be all the same thing about it. Yeah. It's the eye contact that's important at this point. Okay, the first is because you tend to get cold, because of, you know, because when I was around here. This is a focal point. This is for keeping attached. And you need two of these to be equal. Well, it could be that anyway. This is what I'm thinking about. This is what I'm thinking about. Yeah. You need that for any hair zone and it's just in
face.
And this will be good enough. They will be sent to the and that's about the time most of them. This is something I don't bother with here. That's something I think.
You're on the lunch for the coach.
I'm not sure.